Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Wednesday hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and I am coming to you on what is August 5th of 2020. As we truck along here at the beginning of the August month, we have a ton to get to, and we'll be talking today about the future of college football. You know, this is a conversation that we have been having now for weeks. You know, will we see college football or not? And I have leaned on the side of not for quite a while now. And that's due to a number of factors, none being bigger than, of course, COVID-19 and how us as a country, how we haven't been able to contain this pandemic and how we have let our numbers continue to grow and grow, and subsequently hospitals are strained and people are dying on the daily. And when you talk about college football athletes, student athletes who are not getting compensated directly from the universities that they play for or the NCAA as an institution, how can you expect these guys to show up and play a full season knowing that COVID-19 is out there and also knowing that there are outbreaks happening at other schools and other programs? So, with that being said, I think it's only a matter of time before the college football season is completely canceled for the year and another plan is put in place looking at 2021. And I want to talk about a few things because the Big Ten, along with other conferences out there, and knowing that you can't ignore the pandemic, many conferences out there have gone to a conference-only schedule. No out-of-conference games. And with that being said, I mean, you have to revamp a few things. And that does include revamping where you play and shifting dates here and there. So, you know, Michigan State and Michigan, they play every single year on the football gridiron. But now the venue has changed. Again, at least for now. I think this whole thing is going to change because we won't see this schedule play out this year. But I want to give you an update on what the University of Michigan and Michigan State football schedule now looks like, now that the conference is moving to a conference-only schedule. So we'll get to that. Also, I've got an update when it concerns Michigan State athletics and more positive coronavirus tests. Yeah, not great news there. I'll also tell you how one program has decided to just get ahead of the ball and just cancel the season, period. Pretty big school. That news broke this morning when it concerns this school, so stick around for that. Also, Kathy Klages learned her fate yesterday. Kathy Klages, former Michigan State gymnastics coach who worked directly with one of the biggest monsters our nation has ever seen in Larry Nassar. And, you know, Klagis was found guilty when it comes to lying to the police. It could have helped prevent Nassar's heinous acts a long time ago. So we'll talk about her fate as well, and a very, very big warning coming from the mother of an Indiana football player as it pertains to the coronavirus pandemic. So, a completely loaded hour. If you would like to be a part of it, you guys know I've been telling you for weeks now that no, you may not be able to call in live and speak to us live here on the airwaves, but you can leave us a voicemail and I'll roll in those voicemails if they're good enough. No, no, not if they're good enough. Just please, I miss you guys. I miss hearing your voices. If you would like to call in and leave a voicemail, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in courtesy of good old social media. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You can tweet the show at WKAR News. And again, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and weigh in anywhere there on that page. All right. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start here. Seven Michigan State student athletes have now tested positive for COVID-19 in the latest round of testing conducted on July 30th and July 31st. The university's athletic department made that statement on Monday. 50 staff members were also tested as well, with all results coming back negative. So that's good there. MSU Athletics says the seven student athletes are in quarantine and will continue to have daily check-ins with athletic training staff while in isolation, with additional services available by medical and administrative staff. So the football team is isolating under a 14-day quarantine that started on July 22nd and is scheduled to run through yesterday, actually. So today is when MSU football should be getting out of that 14-day quarantine after there was an outbreak that caused them to do so. So since the start of June, Michigan State Athletics has conducted 651 tests on student athletes with 30 positive results. More than 150 tests have been conducted on staff members both on and off campus with 5 positive results. So when you look at that, I mean, you think of 651 tests on student athletes, 30 of those being positive. I mean, that's in a normal time, you would think, okay, that's pretty good. I mean, 651 and only 30 were positive, but it's the coronavirus pandemic, folks. It's the coronavirus. It is highly contagious and it spreads like wildfire. One positive test is too many. So 30 is a lot. All right. As I mentioned, right now, there are many college football conferences out there that have moved to a conference-only schedule that have decided that, okay, we just won't play non-conference games. We'll play in an arena, in a hub, that we can control a bit more by playing teams who are directly in the conferences that we compete against. So with that being said, I mean, you got to make some changes. You got to make changes to dates. maybe some changes to venues and switch games around and so on and so forth. And right now, Michigan State, which was previously scheduled to play host to the Wolverines for this upcoming season, that won't happen now. And the Spartans, as of right now, will have to travel to Ann Arbor to play against Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines. So if the season somehow, some way is played this year with this conference-only schedule, Mel Tucker will be making his rivalry debut against Michigan, this time out in Ann Arbor. So the Spartans are scheduled to open up the 10-game revamped Big Ten-only season at home against Minnesota on September 5th. The conference revealed that news this morning. They were originally supposed to begin the Tucker era that day at home against Northwestern. MSU's game against Michigan, again, originally scheduled for October 10th, right here in East Lansing, Michigan, has now been moved up a week to October 3rd at Michigan Stadium in A Squared. The Spartans' other marquee home game against Ohio State remains scheduled for October 17th, with a bye week now in between the game with the Wolverines. A 10th game at Nebraska was added for November 21st, the final week of the regular season. Now, the Big Ten on July 9th became the first Power 5 conference to announce its plan to play only conference games and eliminate non-conference competition in football and in all other fall sports. The Pac-12 quickly followed a day later, and Friday announced its 10-game plan that is scheduled to begin on September 26th, with preseason camps permitted to start on August 17th. The ACC today revealed its plans to play 10 conference games and one non-conference opponent this fall, with the hope of beginning competition the week of September 7th. The SEC, on Thursday of last week, announced its plan to play 10 games only against conference opponents, with September 26th, the target date to begin competition. SEC practices are set to begin also for August 17th. And the Big 12 on Monday revealed its plans for a 10-game schedule, 9 against conference opponents, and a non-conference game, one non-conference game. So, again, I don't think any of this is going to happen at the end of the day. And it seems as though UConn is getting ahead of the curve. As conferences are rolling out these adjusted schedules, there is one FBS independent that says it won't be taking the field at all. UConn announced this morning that it is canceling its 2020 football year amid concerns of the, of course, coronavirus. The team has been on campus together since July with zero positive COVID-19 tests. Still, the decision was made that there would be too much risk at all to proceed. Now, players will still be full-time students at UConn and have access to facilities per NCAA regulations. Four of the Huskies' games, Illinois, Indiana, Maine, and Mississippi, so you have two Big Ten matchups there, already had been taken off the schedule due to conferences reworking their plans. And two others against ACC opponents, North Carolina and Virginia, were in question. So as an independent, putting together an entire revamped schedule, that presents a significant challenge. Notre Dame partnered with the ACC for a 10-game schedule this fall. So as you see, a lot of different movement here, but UConn making a big move and just saying, no, we will not play this fall. Serious, serious stuff, folks. The coronavirus is wreaking havoc in the lives of us all, really, to be honest. I've always said in talking about this pandemic that you, others you know, we have all been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic in one way or another. And it is one of those things that if we don't stop being selfish, it will continue to spread. And Debbie Rucker, who is the mother of an incoming Indiana freshman offensive lineman by the name of Brady Feeney. Debbie Rucker went on Facebook on Monday asking for prayers for her son, who is struggling mightily with the COVID-19 virus. Indiana Athletic Department officials have been releasing positive test results every week or so, but they have not ever mentioned which players or coaches or staff members have tested positive. Now, in their most recent announcement, which was last week Friday, the school reported that there had been 33 positive tests out of 480. The level of positive tests forced Indiana to pause voluntary workouts for a week, but they resumed for most players on Friday. Indiana officials had no comment on Monday on the report of Feeney. And in just a moment, I am going to read to you exactly what Debbie Rucker had to say that has the sports world and really young people in general talking and buzzing. Because this whole stigma that COVID-19, if you are of a certain age, if you are young, it most likely won't have a huge impact on you. You know, it's been a myth. Watching the news, so many young people, I mean, I'm talking teenagers, people in their 20s, early 30s, they're being infected. And they're having a dire response to being infected with COVID-19. So I'm going to read to you what Debbie Rucker had to say on her Facebook page in just a moment, because it's pretty sad and pretty eye-opening. All right. So stay tuned for that. Some positive news here. Coming from the Michigan State men's basketball program, as Tom Izzo used his 13th and final available scholarship for the 2020-2021 season on Jack Hoiberg, who is the son of former NBA and current Nebraska head coach, Fred Hoiberg. How awesome is that? I mean, we've seen, you know, Jack just chucking along and working hard day in and day out. We've seen him during the end of certain games when it's a score that is comfortable. We've seen him come in and contribute. So this is awesome stuff and well deserved for Jack Hoiberg. The walk-on guard, he takes the spot open as Xavier Tillman announced on Sunday that he plans to remain in the NBA draft. Hoiberg, who is 5 feet 11, 175 pounds. He's a redshirt junior from Burr Ridge, Illinois. He bypassed a D1 golf scholarship to South Dakota to pursue his basketball dreams as a walk-on, under Izzo. So he has played in 28 games in his first two seasons, including a start on February 20th in Lincoln, Nebraska, in front of his family against the Cornhuskers. That was a very cool moment. And Hoiberg had 4 points and 2 assists in the Spartans' 86-65 dub, and a lifetime memory for him and his father. You know, and I believe it was, you know, the Big Ten Network, the show The Journey, that did an outstanding job kind of profiling that moment for Jack and his father, Fred Hoiberg. That had to be pretty cool, especially seeing as though Izzo, he started Jack Hoiberg for that game as a really nice tip of the cap to the work that Jack has put in, and a nice little present for Fred. That's awesome stuff. What a story, and congratulations to Jack. All right, a Michigan judge yesterday sentenced former Michigan State gymnastics coach Kathy Klages to 90 days in jail for lying to police during an investigation into the sexual assaults of former team doctor Larry Nassar. Now, Klages is the third former Michigan State employee to serve jail time. although with Nassar and his former boss, William Strample, on charges related to the Nassar's sexual assaults. Clegg was found guilty in February for lying to police when she told them she had no memory of a pair of young gymnasts warning her about Nassar back in 1997. Two former gymnasts, in Larissa Boyce and a friend, who has chosen to remain anonymous, told reporters and then the court that they raised concerns about Nassar to Clegg nearly 20 years before she was removed from his position at Michigan State. Boyce and the other women were members of the Spartan Youth Gymnastics Club that practiced on the East Lansing campus and was overseen by Kathy Clegg. Clegg and Nassar worked together for nearly 30 years, starting at a local gymnastics club in Lansing in the late 1980s and continuing through their careers at Michigan State. Clegg has worked at Michigan State until February of 3 years ago in 2017. She was suspended by the athletic department and she retired one day later. So Kathy Clegg is now spending 90 days in jail. All right, you know, this story is very, very odd. And look, and I totally get where the wife of Matthew Stafford is coming from, Kelly Stafford. After a false positive COVID-19 test put Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the Detroit Lions, on the NFL's injured reserve / COVID list, she says life has been terrible. And his wife blames the NFL. That's according to an Instagram post made by Kelly Stafford, who called the past 4 days following the false positive, quote, somewhat of a nightmare. This is what Kelly Stafford wrote on that IG post. Quote, I have been losing my mind because of how my family has been treated since my husband was put on COVID IR. Even after we knew it was false positive, our school told us they were not allowed back. I was approached in a grocery store and I was told I was endangering others. My kids were harassed and kicked off a playground. I was told I needed to wait in my car when trying to pick up food. And people closest to us had to get tested just so they could go back to work, end quote. Yeah, that doesn't sound good. All this, Kelly Stafford says, happened after Saturday when the Lions placed Matthew Stafford on the league's reserve / COVID-19 list. The team removed him from the list on Tuesday. Now, the NFL has said being placed on the list does not mean the player has COVID-19, just that they have tested positive or is quarantined after being in contact with an infected person. But after the family's experience following the false positive test, Kelly Stafford says that she wants the league to change and says that it should be, quote, absolutely positive that a player has COVID-19 before making the news public. And yes, I mean, that's a very sensitive thing. I mean, if you were walking around, especially as a very well-known big-time name like Matthew Stafford is, and the news goes national that you have COVID-19, I mean, anybody associated with you is going to kind of get the side eye if they're walking around in public, especially if they don't have COVID-19 and if it is a false positive test. So I totally get where Kelly Stafford is coming from. I mean, you know, medical information, period, being put out to the public. I mean, that's very sensitive stuff. So that's just wild. All right, and Major League Baseball has postponed a 4-game series between the Detroit Tigers and St. Louis Cardinals after 13 members of the Cardinals organization tested positive for COVID-19 in the last week. In a statement shared by ESPN's Jeff Passan, the Cardinals said they will stay in Milwaukee. The Detroit Tigers said they will continue working out at Comerica Park to prep for their 3-game set against the Pittsburgh Pirates, which will begin on Friday. Former MLB player Jerry Hairston Jr., he tweeted on Saturday that he spoke to sources who said some members of the Cardinals, check this, visited a casino prior to their outbreak. John Heyman of the MLB Network corroborated the story and said, quote, at least a couple of Cardinals did go to a casino. That's what's going to happen. If you decide to be out in public and not take this thing serious, especially when you are an athlete that is in contact, direct contact with other athletes from everywhere, you run the risk of contracting COVID-19 and spreading it to many different people. I just don't understand it. I don't understand why Lou Williams of the NBA, who actually made his NBA bubble debut yesterday for the Los Angeles Clippers, but Lou Williams decided to go to an adult club and, you know, he was seen, you know, eating and hanging out. He wanted some chicken wings. It just is so selfish. I mean, is it that hard just to stay put? I guess for many it is. And look, I'm not trying to downplay it. It's not easy just to sit at home, you know, and work at home staring at four walls. I mean, it's not ideal for the mental health of all of us, really. But at the end of the day, there's a pandemic happening. So let me stop. Let me get off my soapbox. I get going and, you know, go on this huge rant. But yeah. And one final headliner is not written down in my notes here, but I do want to extend, a heartfelt well wish to Jaren Jackson Jr., former Michigan State University basketball forward, who was found that he had torn his meniscus, his MCL, in the NBA bubble yesterday. So, torn MCL for Jaren Jackson, effectively ending his season, you know, with the Memphis Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies are a team that is right in the thick of things, competing for a possible playoff spot. Right now, the Grizzlies hold down that eighth spot in the NBA's Western Conference, but you got teams like the New Orleans Pelicans, the San Antonio Spurs, and, you know, now with that big win for the Portland Trail Blazers over the Houston Rockets last night, the Blazers are also nipping at the heels of the Grizzlies for that final playoff spot. So losing Jaren Jackson Jr., who had been having such an amazing year, you know, and just balling out of control, this now sets him back a bit. But, you know, he's ready for the challenge and put out there on his Twitter page. I believe he said something like, well, let me bring it up. I don't want to misquote him. God, he tweeted out yesterday, quote, God knows I like challenges. We just talked. So I love that. He's going to attack it, you know, with a renewed mindset, and he's going to get to work, and we're wishing him a speedy recovery. And I know he's going to continue to just improve next season. So awesome, awesome stuff. As far as his mentality goes, not awesome stuff that he's hurt and tore his meniscus. Okay, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's hit our first break, because when we come back, I got a few things to tackle here. I want to talk about the new revamp schedule for Michigan State football and Michigan football. And I'm going to comb through that schedule, even though I don't think that any of these games are going to get played. But we'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about Brady Feeney, incoming Indiana football offensive lineman who has been infected with COVID-19 and is not doing well. His mother has a message for us all. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just finished up our headliners and just so busy. You know, most of the stories that, you know, I brought to you during our headliners today had to do with COVID-19 and its impact on the sporting world. And right now, when you look at what's happening across college football, because, you know, that's the big question that I'm always getting, Al, do you believe there will be a college football season? And I don't. I don't think that there will be college football this fall. It's just, this situation is just way too out of hand to expect student athletes who don't get paid to go out there, compete against one another, despite outbreaks happening at different programs on the weekly. It just makes no sense to me. So, no, I don't think that college football will be played. And right now, it's like slowly ripping off of a Band-Aid. Eventually, that Band-Aid is going to rip off, and we will get the announcement that there will be no college football this fall. But right now, it's slowly kind of peeling it off. Okay, all right. We know COVID-19 is hurting so many people out there, and we know COVID-19 is breaking out in certain schools. All right, let's move to conference only. No non-conference games. That'll give us some kind of control, a little bit of control, to try and get these numbers down. All right. Well, how about let's revamp the schedules here a little bit, and, you know, change some venues here and there, and let's push the dates out a little bit more. Look, eventually this thing is going to really hit the fan and you will not see college football at all. You know, I mentioned how UConn is getting ahead of that story that will break eventually. And they are saying we're not going to play college football at all this season. You know, but as it pertains to Michigan State football, you know, it's so unfortunate for this program, a program that was already in the midst of trying times based on just what's happening on the field and within the program. Mark D'Antonio deciding to chuck up the deuces and step down as the head coach during the week of signing day. And then the fiasco of Bill Beekman and his staff trying to find D'Antonio's replacement and hopping on planes and, you know, talking with Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker initially declining the job, noting that he wanted to stay at the University of Colorado and build upon, you know, what he was able to do in his first year there. You know, just all of these rumors. I mean, that was such a wild, wild time. And then Michigan State football, you know, also going after Luke Fickell, and then Luke Fickell coming out and saying that Michigan State's campus culture did play a role, and then going back and saying, all right, let's throw a bigger bag at Mel Tucker. And that eventually wooed Mel Tucker to come to Michigan State and coach this program that is just not good right now. Let's just call it like it is. You know, Michigan State football is not that same program that went to the Rose Bowl and was going to Indy to compete for the Big Ten Championship and, you know, Cotton Bowl and college football playoff. You know, it seems like yesterday for a lot of different people because, you know, it wasn't too long ago, but we haven't seen that kind of success in a few years at Michigan State. So this is a program that can't afford any setbacks. But COVID-19 has happened. And that's a big setback, huge setback for Mel Tucker, who is trying to come in his first year and establish some kind of success. But you can't do that right now. It's mission impossible right now because of the outbreak. So I really feel for Mel Tucker and his staff. They really can't get going. And it'll be until 2021. But right now, you know, this is interesting, putting out this revamped schedule that was revealed, that has been revealed this morning. It's going to be a 10-game revamped Big Ten-only season that will begin at home against Minnesota on September 5th for Michigan State. And they were originally supposed to begin the Tucker era that day at home against Northwestern, not Minnesota. And the game against Michigan, which was originally scheduled for October 10th in East Lansing, that has been moved up a week to October 3rd at Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor. Now, I really don't understand that. I mean, we're talking about two schools who play in the same state. You know, why the Big Ten felt as though, all right, we can't play this game at Spartan Stadium. We're going to move it to Ann Arbor. You know, I don't get that. I just don't understand that. It just makes no sense to me. I really don't know why they moved that. But yeah, that's just how it is. Even though, again, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter because these games will not be played. So yeah, that game is right now moved to Michigan. The other marquee home game against Ohio State, that does remain scheduled for October 17th at Spartan Stadium. A bye week now in between the game with the Wolverines. A 10th game at Nebraska was added for November 21st, the final week of the regular season. So this is how the entire schedule looks. September 5th against Minnesota at home. September 12th at Maryland. September 19th, hosting Northwestern. September 26th, at Penn State. October 3rd, at Michigan. October 10th, that's when you have the bye. So you play Michigan in Ann Arbor on October 3rd. You've got the bye that following week, and then you will play Ohio State at home. So that's going to be an interesting stretch of football right there if it would get played, but you know what I mean. Let's just talk like it's going to get played just for kicks and giggles, right? After the game against Ohio State at home, Michigan State will then host Rutgers on October 24th. They'll be at Iowa on Halloween, October 31st, against Indiana at home, November 7th. They have another bye on November 14th, and then they will play at Nebraska on November 21st. So that's how it looks right now. You know, I like that schedule, actually. You know, let's just say, again, these games were to get played. You know, I really like this schedule for Michigan State, especially the fact that you play rival Michigan. You know, I don't like the fact that game is in Ann Arbor. I don't know why they had to change that, but whatever. You know, you play in Ann Arbor, and, you know, depending on how that game goes, you know, that's an intense rivalry game, so much emotion in the building. You get a chance to, to revamp and recollect, get your mind right, do some meditation, rest, and then you play another big game against Ohio State at home on the 17th. And then you follow that up against Rutgers at home. You know, so you get back-to-back home games after that intense matchup in Ann Arbor against the Michigan Wolverines. You open up against Minnesota, then at Maryland, and then against Northwestern, and then at Penn State. You know, I like this schedule. This is a schedule that, you know, Mel Tucker can do some things with, I believe. But again, there's so many, you know, question marks, and I'm not going to go into the roster and start previewing the season. That'd just be a waste of my time at this point. But it is very unfortunate that, you know, we just won't see Mel Tucker in a normal college football year. I'm excited. I mean, everybody's excited, right, to see what this brother can do. In East Lansing. You know, everything that I'm reading and everything that I'm hearing from athletes on the team, they really like him, and he is such a hard worker. I've enjoyed following him on social media, hashtag relentless. You know, he does a great job. You know, you just feel like when looking at Mel Tucker on social media, you feel like he's got that great balance of being disciplined and pushing his players, being a football coach, right? But also knowing how to relate to him and knowing when to pull that back a bit. Very active on social media and a very personable brother. And it helps, too, when Mel Tucker has two young boys. You know, I'm pretty sure they're putting him on game every single day, right? That's to have the battle when you talk about recruiting and trying to relate to young men who play college football. So the Spartans are coming off a 7-6 season, a win over Wake Forest in the Pinstripe Bowl in D'Antonio's final game. And right now the team is just coming out of that 2-week, 14-day quarantine period due to an outbreak. But games aren't going to be played, folks. It's just not going to happen. And I want to talk about now, with that being said, just how serious this thing could get. Because young people are getting infected. Young people are acting very reckless out here, still partying. And, you know, I saw a scene out in Brooklyn, New York, and young people out there in the midst of a rave. People out there on boat parties and trying to soak up the summer. Just selfishness. Simple as that. But the mother of Debbie Rucker, who is the mother of incoming Indiana freshman offensive lineman Brady Feeney, has a message for us all. She went on Facebook on Monday asking prayers for her son, who is struggling and in one intense battle with COVID-19. This is what she wrote on that Facebook post. I'm going to read the complete post right here. Quote, "I am not one to post about personal family issues because I am not one to ask for help very often. However, in this crazy, chaotic world where a global crisis is not being taken seriously, I have decided to post my personal family crisis with the permission of my son, Brady, who is struggling with the virus. I am asking each of my friends as a request from my heart. Please take this serious and wear a mask. Exercise social distancing and realize by wearing a mask you could help protect those that you love. Please, here is our story. My son was negative when he got tested at the beginning of volunteer workouts. Within 3 weeks, he and multiple others tested positive. His university has done everything right by shutting down workouts and resting the whole team. Unfortunately, this virus hit my son very hard compared to most of his teammates. Here was a kid in perfect health, great physical condition, and due to the virus, ended up going to the emergency room because of breathing issues. After 14 days of hell battling the horrible virus, his school did additional testing on all those that were positive. My son even received extra tests because he was one of the worst cases. Now we are dealing with possible heart issues. He is still experiencing additional symptoms and his blood work is indicating additional problems. Bottom line, even if your son's schools do everything right to protect them, they can't protect them. I pray my son recovers from this horrible virus and can lead a healthy, normal life. Football does not really matter when your child's health is in jeopardy. Think about it. My heart is hurting, and I pray for all of these kids and for the people making the decisions about the season. Please protect all those around you, and please wear a mask. Thanks for listening." Again, that comes from the mother of an incoming Indiana freshman offensive lineman by the name of Brady Feeney, Debbie Rucker, being very candid. Rucker told the Indianapolis Star one Monday night that she's been frustrated by the response to the virus, which has been exacerbated by her son's illness. So there you have that. A very candid message that we all should think about. There will be no college football this upcoming year, this upcoming fall. And you know what? There shouldn't be college football this upcoming fall. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll put a bow on today's current sports. Welcome back. Yeah, you know, if you missed segment B, you know, I finished up by reading the Facebook post of Debbie Rucker, who is the mother of Brady Feeney, an incoming Indiana football freshman offensive lineman. And, you know, his struggles with COVID-19 are very, very serious. And, you know, the part that got me when reading that was when she says, bottom line, even if your son's schools do everything right to protect them, they can't protect them. You know, that's pretty in your face, right? Even with all these precautions that are taking place, I mean, I don't know how you can just how you can play sports in which you're in close contact with other athletes and expect not to get infected, especially with this thing being so highly contagious. I mean, we're seeing it in baseball right now, and look, you know, when it comes to what's happening in baseball, I mean, I told you in the headliners how there were Cardinals players who were in a casino prior to their outbreak. I mean, that's just being stupid. It's being stupid and selfish. And how can you expect all of these student-athletes to not be tempted, right, and to go out and hang out with each other and party it up? It's just not realistic, man. And the only reason we're having this conversation about college sports possibly still moving forward and college football possibly still moving forward is because of the smither of hope that we can salvage at least some of the millions and millions and millions of dollars that we are going to lose out on as an organization. Again, I'm talking as an employee. It's one of the big wigs, I should say, of the NCAA or Power Five Conference. Because millions of dollars will be lost. Simple as that. So that's why they're pushing this thing the way they're pushing it. All right, to close out, I do want to mention Kathy Klages. Can't ignore that. You heard in our headliners that she will now have to serve 90 days in jail. 90 days in jail for lying to police during an investigation into the sexual assaults of former team doctor Larry Nassar. And this is just. You are found guilty of lying to the police. Found guilty of a moment in which you could have helped stop this monster. This 90-day jail sentence is deserved for Kathy Klages. And now this helps in the healing process. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about the reaction from Larissa Boyce and other gymnasts to this news that Kathy Klages will indeed spend time in jail. But again, this further helps in the healing process, folks. With that said, we'll see you on the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Please be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.